What can be regarded as the criterion of truthfulness of a theory? So there are two theories. The first one is that there is God, and a person has a soul. A person is a creature whose personality will never disappear. And there's another theory, that there's no God. The world exists on its own accord, and it is developing according to the laws that we don't know much about, because what we know is just some minor part in the ocean of unknown. The scientists know that we don't know anything, because that drop of knowledge that we have in the ocean of unknown is absolutely nothing compared to the ocean that we can contemplate. So that's such an obvious and paradoxical issue. It's even strange that the more we learn, the less we know on the scale of knowledge. Expansion of knowledge leads to the expansion of the field of knowledge, and the percentage of knowledge decreases. So we learn something in particular, and the field of unknown that opens to us becomes larger. So it's an amazing process. So the percentage of our knowledge is decreasing compared to the field of the unknown. So it is paradoxical. So if we regard religion and atheism, but I'd like to point out, so when I say religion, I mean orthodoxy. Because now, when you say religion, it can mean anything, even some nonsense and something that I wouldn't even call religion. So I don't speak about all the religions, and I don't even mean Christianity in general, because orthodoxy in many different ways is absolutely different from Catholicism and Protestantism. I made sure of it when once in the academy I was asked to do the lecturing on the Western confessions, Catholicism and Protestantism, for a while. So I thought, okay, for a while it would be like half a year or a year. So I agreed, and then it lasted for 15 years. So at that time I made sure that Orthodox Catholicism and Protestantism are absolutely different, which I hadn't realized before. So I made sure that descended decimus, as the Romans say. So when we are teaching, we are learning. So it is true. And orthodoxy is very different from the Western Christian confessions. And when I use the word religion, I mean orthodoxy only. So, in this particular case, indeed, in the Soviet times, a person faced these two theories, one of which was called to be the only scientific one. So I'm kidding, of course, but they called the atheistic worldview to be the only scientific one, and the other one was the religious one. So there must be grounds for any theory. And when can we accept a theory? When can we call it a truthful one? So a theory is only acceptable if it has facts, because we can dream of anything and have any suggestions. So the first principle is the availability of facts. There should be facts for us to make conclusions, and these facts need verification, because there can be some random facts and some phenomena which cannot be yet explained, and facts need confirmation, because the principle of verification is an essential principle which must be present in the scientific studies. So these are the two main principles, though we can find more. So they are essential, and when they are not present, we cannot speak of this theory and its meaningfulness. So from this regard, we can consider these two theories, atheism and religion. So let's start with the atheism. The first question is, what facts can atheism provide in favor of the fact that there is no higher intelligence that religion often calls God? For example, I saw a bear in this forest. You will say, really? Excuse me, is it true? I will say, yes, I saw it. Well, it is unbelievable. Then another person comes up and says, so did I also saw a bear. And then the third one says that he also saw a bear. And then there are five people, then 10 people. Well, it's unbelievable. It can't be true that there are bears in here. So how can we prove that there are no bears here? Well, we need to go looking and searching and checking all the footprints and tracks, and we need to go through the forest thoroughly to make sure there's no bear. So you see, in order to negate the existence of something, you need to know much more than when you claim that you saw something or someone. Because I claim, because I saw, but in order to claim there is no someone in here, I need to go looking through the whole forest. And even if I search the forest thoroughly, I will still have doubts. Perhaps the bear has hidden somewhere, especially in winter. So my point is, when we speak of facts, which is the first condition for a theory to be recognized as the one that is worthwhile. So, first of all, facts. What facts can atheism provide as the worldview theory? Once I met with the director of the Institute of Atheism in the Soviet times. So we had a nice discussion. So he knew theology quite well. He knew the Western theological ideas. So he was quite an interesting scientist. And of course, he was the doctor of the religious philosophy, the PhD. So we had a conversation and some tea. And I asked him, can you please answer me a question which I can't answer my students? So I'm so tired of them. I'm in despair, and I've been waiting for you. You're my hope. Please help me. So he asked me, so what kind of question is it? So I replied, you know, students like asking questions which are impossible to answer. So They asked me what should an educated person do in order to make sure that there is no God. So you're silent now, and so was he. So what can an educated person do to make sure there is no God? And he said, and the same question about religion. Oh, I will gladly tell you what can one do to make sure there is God, because the church keeps talking about it all the time. About atheism, where are the facts? Secondly, so the principle of verification means that even facts need verification. So what should we do here? How can we verify? What is the way? What is the experiment to verify that there is no God, even though many people claim the opposite? Because according to the world statistics, today 7 out of 10 people in the world are believers. So how can we verify non-existence of something? So we already said how we should thoroughly search everything that the opposite worldview speaks about. So we should verify the arguments of religion. What does religion refer to? First of all, it refers to the facts. Yes, as they say, it's hard to go against facts. So indeed, religion has such a great number of amazing facts in favor of that. Here we deal not just with some natural processes or phenomena of life that we can contemplate or search from time to time. No, there are some amazing facts, and one of them is miracles. If you ever read the great number of evidence, which is historical evidence of what, for example, John Kronstadt did, and the facts of his life are amazing. He could heal people by telegram, so they recovered at once. And it doesn't matter how serious their disease was. And there are numerous facts. And that was just one single person. And, for example, there is Saint Ksenia from Saint Petersburg and Saint Nicholas. Even Muslims know about him, and even atheists know about him. So it has been happening at all times, and it keeps happening today. So I just named you 3 people, but I think we could talk about Saint Seraphim from Sarov, or you could read about him. He died relatively not long ago, in 1833. From the end of the 18th century, the so-called French Enlighteners announced that, and by the way, the Enlighteners were not naturalists, they were all humanists and philosophers who, having absolutely no grounds, started to claim some things that made absolutely no sense. So I would like to set an example. Voltaire, Diderot, Montesquieu suddenly announced that Jesus Christ, who we read about in the New Testament and Gospels, had never actually existed, that he was a mythical figure, like some myth about the sun. Do you know why I'm so indignant? Because there is such historical evidence about Jesus Christ, which is impossible to ignore. So the greatest historians of the time, of the end of the first century, of the second centuries, testify that Jesus Christ existed. Josephus the Flavius, who was the defender of Jerusalem in the years of 69-70s, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman armies, there was a devastating war which ended in defeat of Jerusalem and many, many deaths. And he writes about Jesus Christ in particular. And there's also Pliny Jr. He is an outstanding historian. Everyone knows about him. So our Soviet Science Academy listed his scientific works. And Life of 12 Caesars. What is it? You know, the greatest historians speak of Jesus Christ, and throughout the for centuries it has been regarded as indisputable historical evidence. Didn't they know about it? So was it ignorance or was it a lie? So I can't realize what it was. So leave alone that the New Testament contains many authors. So we just call them Gospels, but there are four Gospels, four people speak of it, and then epistles, so there are other authors, and they don't just tell us about Jesus Christ, but how they do that. So they never mentioned Socrates. They never told that Socrates had never existed, though there are just two pieces of evidence about Socrates and they're contradictory. But what I'm saying is that atheism appeared in this form not that long ago. So they tried to make it seem scientific not that long ago. And what's amazing, which I have to pay attention to, why this small group of people suddenly received great material aid. So they received money and power. It was amazing. And at that time, the epoch was still the epoch of believers indeed. And suddenly there was such a great flow of money, information, propaganda, the press, advertisement, but the fact is the fact. So I set an example of the question, what can an educated person do to make sure there is no God? They should verify what the religion claims. What does religion claim? First of all, there are facts. Secondly, the religious claims can be verified personally. And for this, a person doesn't need any fantastic abilities. The Christian religion, and Orthodoxy in particular, shows a person the particular means which you can only respect. It calls us to live according to conscience, but that doesn't just presuppose the outer forms of behavior, morality, because what is morality? It is the way of life. And everyone can see my way of life. So I don't cheat on my family, which everyone can know about. I don't break laws. I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't lie. So I am a moral person. Whom did I deceive? Nobody. What bad did I do? Nothing. So I am a moral person. But Christianity speaks not just about morality. Morality is just the low surface level. Is it essential? Of course, it is necessary, but of course, it is necessary, but Christianity doesn't say that's it. So there's no full stop. There's a comma, and then there's but in capital letters. I can be a moral person from the outer point of view. I can be even perfect. But what is there inside my soul? So I can be an absolutely moral person, but there can be so much vanity and pride because I can consider myself so much better than other people who are lying, cheating, and so on. So can you feel where we are heading? So how much better I am than other people? So just this vanity and pride alone are terrible things. And there's also envy. What is it? So it's impossible to enumerate what there is in my soul, what can be there. If only people could find out these inner things about each other, the world would suffocate. So there's so much hatred, dislike, you know, passing judgment. You know, I'm talking to people nicely, I'm so polite, but then they walk away and I say, what an idiot. So much hypocrisy there is. And still, this person is moral from the outer point of view. As a famous Orthodox saint, Theophan the Recluse, said the words we should remember because they reflect the essence of our life and the phenomena of our life. They correspond to our psychology. These are amazing words which all of my students know. And they always smile when I start the phrase. They know what I'm about to say. He is knit of the knits, but he keeps claiming, I am not like other men. It is so true indeed. So you can remember the words of gospel when Jesus Christ says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So when I'm passing judgments on other people, means that I see myself so much better than them. How can church authorities not see my holiness? So it turns out that Christianity calls a person not just to morality. When a person can be absolutely moral and respectable from the outer point of view, but inside a person can be a Satan in order to conduct the experiment that we've been discussing. Christianity calls a person not just to morality, which is necessary, of course. Christianity doesn't call us to kill or steal, no. But it also attracts our attention to the state and fulfillment of a human soul. Do you remember Chekhov, who said that a person should have everything beautiful, both clothes and face and behavior and so on? He said it so well. So everything should be beautiful, and his words are remarkable, because he answers the most important question. Because the most important thing is beauty, but not the beauty of a face, for example, because a person can be beautiful, but you'd never deal with that person because they are beautiful, but they're so vain and so on. But a person can be not very beautiful, but have a great, amazing heart. And he also says that a person should also have beautiful thoughts and desires and feelings. And our great composer Glinka says that in order to create beauty, one should be beautiful in their soul. The essence of a personality is not in their outer behavior. No, the beauty of a person is inside. That's where it is. The authoritative collection of writings of Holy Fathers is called Philokalia, which is love of beauty. So saints who were like God were striving to beauty, and they demonstrated it in their lives, the real beauty of a soul, of a human heart. So we are talking about verification of orthodoxy. How can we verify this theory? You see, please give it a try. If you want to check if there is God, then you must know that like is known by such, and God is a spirit. And in order to get to know God, we must become similar to God in the spirit. we know when there is a beautiful spirit or a terrible spirit. So if you want to verify if there is God, who is not somewhere in some constellation, but who is in the soul of every person, there is God in the soul of every person, because Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of heaven is inside you. So the kingdom of heaven is God. It is not a geographical location. So it is the state, it is the spirit of God and God Himself. So if we want to verify that there is God, please, there is a way. What way? Does Christianity call us to violence, revolutions, killings? No, it calls us to such purity of a human personality that we can only admire. Why wouldn't we verify this? Or don't I care about truth and beauty? Don't you like it? This beauty is love and benevolence and mercifulness to everyone. It is refusal of revenge. So these things are beauty of a personality indeed. Is it bad? No. Is it good? Yes, it is. So please verify it. So Christianity calls a person to verify it. So this is the principle of verification. The way is open. And it is not just the way that was opened by some philosophers. If it was some just theory or ideas, then we would still have doubts. But the history of the Church speaks of the fact that a great number of people who went along this way came to contemplation of God. It's not just 1, 2, 5, 10 people. No, it's a great number of people who went along this path. And of course, the achievement of each individual is different. The same we can find in music and literature and sports and so on. And it depends on the efforts that we make. You know that they say that a genius is 95% of hard work and 5% of talent. And it is true. So it depends on this inner light, inner fire. You know, sometimes you can't stop a person. And, you know, saints actually made great efforts. This was very hard work, and they achieved the top of what a human being can achieve. So Christianity gives us the way of verification, providing us with numerous examples. The way is open. There are different stages of it, and there are signs of correctness and the description of the worst mistakes one can make on this way. Please beware. So the saints called this way the science of the sciences and the art of all arts. Of course, because when I'm searching something, I'm a naturalist, So how can it harm my soul? Of course I have a huge head and everything, but then I die and that's it. You know, of course there are some works that remain after my death, but someone can use them for good or for bad, you know, because it's like a sword that you can use for protection or for murder. Atheism doesn't have a method of verification. I mean, one can verify, but how? So here we came to an amazing conclusion. In order to make sure there is God, both religion and atheism both say to a person, if you want to make sure there is God, they say the same, even though they are opponents. Please go alone the way the religion shows you. You need to go there where, as they say, there is a bear. So it is said by both those who saw the bear and by those who claim there is no bear. So you see, in this respect, both religion and atheism become friends for a person who is searching for truth, because there is one single way of verification. And all people who we call believers or even saints are amazing because of their real intelligence. It is such great intelligence that it is unbelievable. They are the greatest psychologists of the world who undermine such deep mysteries of a soul that you could never think of. These are amazingly intelligent people. Some people like to refer to crazy believers, but there are crazy people everywhere. People can believe that there is God and there is no God, but they can be crazy anyway. But it's not an argument. Some people say that the first people were just afraid of nature and that's why they made up God. But now, when there is science, we are learning that it was not true. But it is not so otherwise. Now, with the development of science, there should be not a single scientist believer left out there. So when they say that science negates religion, they presuppose natural sciences like astronomy, chemistry, physics, and so on. How can they possibly negate religion? You know, like Gagarin went into space and didn't see God there. But it's ridiculous, you know. I never heard that the Bible says that God rotates around the earth and Gagarin didn't see him. So it's ridiculous because they're trying to contradict and to make it seem that natural sciences are opposed to religion. But the scientists of all times and up to nowadays have been and are believers. Bekhtereva, who is the director of the Brain Institute, she came to us, to our theological academy, and I remembered her words. She said that such a miracle as the human brain cannot be explained in any way except for the existence of the higher intelligence. Otherwise, it is impossible to imagine its origins. And any person who studied the human organism, let alone other things, these people were just amazed. How is it possible? We all studied the evolution theory at schools and so on. What is its foundation? Which science and which experiment ever illustrated that a non-living thing can produce life? When and where was it noticed that life can appear out of matter? Where? Nowhere. Never. But that's the beginning of it, because all the rest are the consequences. So how did life appear in the first place? How something that is not alive can produce life? And this is the foundation of the evolution theory. And unless we answer this question, and there is no answer to it, we have to say the following thing. Yes, perhaps life could have been developing differently. Perhaps it was in the evolutionary way. But when we are coming up to the higher animals, we face misfunctioning of the theory. What came first? A sheep or a cow? And when we come up to a human being, nobody knows anything. How could a human being appear when Darwin published his book? His closest friend, wrote him a note. It was just a short note. What does a monkey need a philosopher's brain for? Darwin understood it. Of course, a monkey is perfectly fit for the conditions it lives in. What does it need a philosopher's brain for? Do you remember the principle of the theory? Its adjustment to life, which gradually increases. So what does a monkey need to get adjusted to life more? So all the species of animals and plants are 100% fit for the surrounding conditions they live in. So the variety and harmony of all living things is truly amazing. And no species needs to transfer from one species into another. It is not necessary at all. But when we come up to a human being, that's it. That's an abyss of ignorance. And sometimes we hear about different publications. We found, what did you find? Where is the transition from the highest mammals to a human being? There is no transition. Once they found a so-called pinned down man, they did find him who had a monkey jaw and a forehead of a human being. Homo sapiens, they called it. And for 30 years they were so happy. And then one person realized that it was a fake, that of course they put together a human skull and a monkey's jaw. It was a disaster. What a great scandal it was. The bottom line is that atheism as a theory can have no facts. So the scientific world, and everyone knows it, is endless and consequently, even if there was no God, science would never be able to claim it. Why? Because what we know is just a small drop out of an endless ocean of the unknown. What would we call a person who came to some huge castle with a great number of rooms, and having entered just a few rooms, he says, "I didn't meet an owner." It means here is no owner here. What would we say? Please have patience. You will meet the owner. So a great number of scientists, of outstanding scientists, became believers. And they became believers not just because science proved that there is God, even though that science provides huge material for it. It gives such information that provides you with a choice. So here you have a great number of facts. So please compare what is more probable. So a great number of scientists became convinced believers because most probably there is God. But atheism has no arguments. Any ideas that are offered are of the following kind. How can religion answer this or that question? How can we explain this? So, when we speak about experimental science, we face so many problems. Even though we can touch it, can smell it, can break it, can do anything with the matter, and we can bomb the particles, the cores, and so on. And when we are asked questions about religion, you know, when you can touch something and you have questions, then of course in the religious life we also have questions. We also have spheres of unknown, both in the spheres of the natural science and in the sphere of the spirit. But we do know the essential. What a person should become, what the way is for a person to make sure that there is God, not to learn it from their grandparents, but to make sure on their own. Christianity responds to the main life question of sense of life. If there is God, there is eternal life. If I myself as a personality am intended for eternal life, and I am not a spark that flew out of the pipe of eternity and went out. No. Religion says that a person is intended for the eternal life, and this eternal life is in face of love and truth, and the eternal kingdom of love awaits for us. Then I understand what the sense of my life is, why I should do good things and why I should avoid bad things. But if there is no God, if my life is going to its end, and then there will be nothing. Like when I'm asleep, I don't care if I'm good or bad. If there is nothing, well, I can say that I did something for other people, but really, do many people remain famous in the history? But even if it was so, what does the contemporary science say? I read a book by our famous academician Moiseev on the future of the mankind. By the way, he was atheist, and there he writes that the development of the scientific and technological progress that is so important to us that we can't live without will lead humanity as the biological species to destruction, and this disaster, according to him, will happen in the middle of the 21st century. So even if it happens not in the middle but in the end of the 21st century, but if the mankind comes to destruction, what does it matter if I am moral or not, if I'm doing good or bad things, if I'm honest or dirty and dishonest? So I will die, and that's it. So I thought I'm living for the future of the humanity, but it will stop its existence. So atheism is an unbelievably pessimistic worldview. So it is despair. What is the sense of my life? All people who took life seriously thought about sense of life. Pushkin wrote, "Fruitless gift at random handed, life of mine. What was your aim? Else, why had some fate intended for death row to be my claim? It was disappointment in life." Then he keeps writing, "Dull, I bear my blind existence, empty heart and quiescent mind, and I drag along the distance of this life's insipid grind." It's Pushkin at the moment of his serious thinking about the sense of life, and atheism has no answer. Can we accept this worldview? Can we accept a theory that doesn't respond to the main question of my life? Can we trust a theory that can't answer the most important question? What should I do to make sure there is no God? Can we trust a theory that science says that the scientific world is endless, and even if there was no God, we would never learn about it? So science is studying absolutely different things. It studies the material world and matter, and here we touch the world of a soul, the spiritual world, and the question of sense of my life. Orthodoxy not just answers these questions, but it offers us an amazing way of life which doesn't accept this psychology of despair and nonsense. There is a great perspective a person, you should enter the eternity with dignity, because this death is not your end. Please look at the caterpillar who seems to die, but sometime later a beautiful butterfly flies out of it. That's what Christianity speaks of, about eternal life.